Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Don't forget, it is by your hand as listeners that we flourish here on The Instance. That's right. You can support us at The Instance Membership Plus over at theinstance.net. Click on our membership program and join up. Get some exclusive cool stuff in the mail every month. Or maybe you just want to throw a buck our way. That'd be fine, too. Whatever it is, there's rewards. And we made it ourselves. We didn't use anybody for this. It's ours, which means that we really care about you guys. So head on over there and check it out. That's theinstance.net. Support that today.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode. I just ran over my own thing. 586. It is January 17th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Scott Johnson, sir.
Hello.
I'm ready to do an episode of the podcast called The Instance.
Yep.
And I will do my best to honor the brand and company that I serve.
This will all make more sense if you were here before the show, where Patrick and I had an interesting conversation about his quarterly review. But if you weren't here for that, this is going to make no sense. Also, I like to think that you're here just to console me about Cyberpunk being delayed till September. So thanks for being here for
me for that. Funny story about that. On my French show, which got recorded and published like 3 hours before that announcement, I laughed and joked about the fact that, of course it won't be delayed anymore. It will come out like in April for sure. So there you go. That tells you what I know about.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Don't listen to me.
Yeah, it's in French though, so don't worry about it. Nobody here. Nobody listens to French. Also with us, the one, the only, the Garrett Weinzerpel, all the way from America's Wiener. That is to say, oh my gosh, you know what? I haven't made that reference, I think, since Andrew was on the show. Have I? Have I ever said America?
No, I think you make that reference pretty much every couple
10% made that reference since Andrew has been on the show.
Okay, I couldn't remember. But anyway, Garrett, it's good to have you
back. I've never met the guy, but I believe Andrew was also in Sarasota when he was doing The Instance.
Correct. Is that where you are?
I'm now in Bradenton, which is like 1 minute further north.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I used to live in Sarasota. Yeah.
You guys should hook up. I don't even know where he is these days. I haven't heard from him in ages, like years.
Well,
years.
I've never met the man, but Andrew, if you're listening, still a big fan.
He's a cool guy. Always worried he might turn into one of those Florida men you always hear about. But I think he's
well. As a Florida man, I can confirm it's not that bad. It is okay. You get to talk to alligators.
Yeah.
You get to not really worry about it when you're covered in mud and. You pretty much know how to kill anything with a pocket knife. It's wonderful.
Wow. In a Walmart parking lot.
Are you a Florida man in that sense? Like, are you able to kill anything with a pocket knife? That sounds like a very valuable skill.
Listen, Patrick, up until this point in my life, if I've had to kill something with a pocket knife, clearly I've been successful because otherwise it would have killed me. It's a binary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Right.
Sure.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to an internship in your backyard to learn to also kill things with pocket knives.
We'll see how Patrick does in his quarterly review.
And the next time,
let's say in the Finnish forests, it might come useful for rabbits and deers and stuff.
Oh,
they can be threatening.
Listen, before we get to the big 8.3 talk and all this wild stuff that we have to talk about today, I do have to say one thing about your Scandinavian zone up there. All right. Technically, Finland's a Scandinavian country, right? Do I have that wrong?
Technically it isn't, but it's fine. It's a Nordic country.
So we'll say Nordic countries. That's a good way to put it. I had the fortune / misfortune of watching Midsummer the other day, and that movie is super freaky, and I don't ever want to go to Sweden, like not even for a minute. That movie really got under my cheese, man, and melted it all. I just cannot tell you enough weird things about the movie Midsommar, but if you want to see it, you should, because it's very good. That and Hereditary, fantastic movies. That dude's my new favorite horror director. That guy knows how to get right up in my face. Anyway, that's just a side note. Now, time for this. All right, a relatively big week in the world of Warcraft. 8.3 has landed. It is here. We got stuff to talk about, our impressions. We're going to hear a bunch of community impressions as well today. Also, about halfway through all of this, I'm going to play an interview that I did with Jeremy Fiesel, who is one of the devs on the team. In fact, kind of in a lead position on this particular patch. He's also widely known as somebody who worked very hard on Islands Expeditions. He was also a big deal back in the Warlord's days when it came to garrisons, pet battles, that sort of stuff. So really nice guy. Had a great talk with him about where the game's at, where we might be heading. A few tidbits as we look forward to Shadowlands, but lots of talk about the current content. It's about a 25-minute interview, and I'll insert that in into the show. Sadly, you live people won't get to hear it, but the folks at home, the large part of our listenership will listen to that interview, and I think you'll enjoy it, so check that out. Let's talk about 8.3. I assume everybody's had at least some experience with it so far. Garrett, let's start with you. Have you messed about in Azeroth since all the nightmares came?
Oh yes, Scott. I've played a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get back in and do some more horrific visions yesterday, but that did not happen.
Wouldn't you call that the best feature so far? That's the best feature, right? I would.
It is pretty cool. Yeah. I dig it. Yeah. I mean, the I'm sure the raid will probably be the coolest thing. It's just not out yet, and I haven't done it. So.
Right. That's true. We should mention that for those wondering if you're not up on it. This is typical too. The raid's not here yet. It's going to be a bit. We have a schedule, but it's not here. So
If you're like me and Scott and not currently on a raid team, you're going to have to wait a little longer too. Mm-hmm. It's not coming to LFR for another
till February, right? I think so. Do I have that right?
I think it's a week after it opens up in normal. I don't have the dates.
I don't have it in front of me either. But I hear some. Hold on, there's some French happening.
Yeah.
Play by play. The Prime Minister of French talk is now. Reaching down. Oh, look at this little dude.
Bonjour.
Tu dis bonjour à Scott et tu dis bonjour à Gareth. Bonjour, Gareth. Non?
Oh,
oui. Hop. I say oui.
Voilà.
No, oui.
Là, c'est Scott. Bonjour.
Hey, buddy. I don't know how to say that in French. Hi. Oh, he's so cute, dude.
Okay. All right.
Now that is amazing. We got to have that moment once a week. That's a rule. He's adorable. All right. Sorry, Garrett. You were saying.
Yes, sorry. He wants to look at Scott a bit more. I'm sorry for interrupting the show.
No.
This is going to come up in my 6 months.
Review. It actually will benefit you tomorrow in your review.
This is le adorable.
Yeah, it's le adorable. Oui. CC. No, that's Spanish. Oh, wait, there's more happening.
Okay,
we're good.
No, sorry. Okay, now we can go. Sorry.
No, that was adorable. All right, sorry. Garrett, you're back. Sorry, wherever you were, pick that up.
I found it in show notes from 2 weeks ago because I was like, I'm pretty sure we talked about this on an episode or two ago. Mm-hmm. But Raid Finder kicks off January 28th.
Oh, okay. So,
a week after normal and heroic goes live.
That's not as far off as I thought. I thought for some reason we were all waiting till February for the...
Well, it extends all the way through March, because Wing 1 is January 28th, Wing 2, February 11th, Wing 3, February 25th, and Wing 4 on March 10th.
Wow, it's weird to think that I'll be playing or close to playing Animal Crossing when that thing finally finishes coming out. Anyway,
that's going to be perfect because they've said that there's going to be no 835. So you're going to need a little bit of paying bells to a strict landlord.
Yeah.
To wait until Shadowlands.
And that was a confirmed thing. Well, they'll hear it in this interview, but Jeremy mentioned this as well. And I wanted just to be sure about it because, you know, you never know with an expansion if they're going to tack on extra stuff. But it sounds like absolutely no. There is no additional patch content outside of fixes and, you know, the normal sort of maintenance stuff between now and Shadowlands, which is a big chunk of time, folks. And I have some concerns that this patch, 8.3, is enough to hold people over if they plan to spend their time in WoW until Shadowlands. We can talk a little bit about that. But I think so far, despite the fact that there's no big land mass, I seem to be echoing what a lot of the community says, which is the intro seems really cool. The quest for all that seems great. The horrific visions are cool and have a nice kind of roguelike quality to them, which leads me down the road to wonder what the big tower thing in Shadowlands might be like. What's that called again? Tower of Pain? No. Big tower of sticking out there. What's it called? It's the tower of dropping the stuff in the tower. I don't know what it is. It's got a name, and I don't remember the name. Chat room might remember the name.
Torghast, the Tower of the Damned.
That's the one. Torghast, the Tower of the Damned, which is very much a sort of roguelike experience, and I like that
a lot. Just don't call it the Dark Tower.
No. That's a great book series.
You don't want to get sued.
Yeah. It's a good book series and a fine board game, but don't want to get sued. Anyway,
Stephen King will send you a cease and desist from Sarasota, Florida, where he has a home.
Oh, whoa, what? Wait, so you could visit with him and
that
Andrew.
Explains so much.
Yeah,
that explains so much.
Does
he's
it?
A Florida man.
Well, I believe Stephen King has many homes, but yeah,
he's mainly a Maine man, right? Like that's where he really hides out is Maine, but he'll come down there if he needs to.
I have gotten a total of 3 texts in my life from my dad who has been grocery shopping at a Publix and been like, "Oh, hey. Stephen King is here again."
Yeah. Wait.
I thought you got texts from Stephen King. That would have been.
That would be incredible. Nice. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still working on becoming friends with him and Brian Johnson from AC/DC.
Oh, he's down there. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yep. There's an episode of Top Gear where they go driving around Sarasota in his cars.
Oh, I thought he was. Isn't he blind now? Or no, deaf now? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah. And lost a lot of his hearing.
Should have put plugs in on stage.
Anyway, but back to 8.3.
Anyway, back to 8.3. It's let's talk about the concerns you had, Garrett, real quick. Last week you were talking about you were still sort of bummed that there wasn't a new zone and new content in new zone, that sort of thing. And now that you've actually dabbled, do you still feel that loss? Like that's a thing that you wish was there?
Yes and no. Mm. Yes, I after... you know, a few days with it, frankly. I think it feels a little bit like a light patch, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But I am enjoying it more than I thought I would, if for what that's worth.
Yeah, the substance of the actual stuff seems good. It's just less than maybe we usually get. And here's the thing. This reminds me, and I can't be the only one to notice this, and I didn't ask this in the interview because it's, I don't know, it's a weird question, but this reminds me of when Warlords was ending and we were waiting for Legion, and it felt like, man, they're just going to let Warlords go. They're just going to let it kind of dangle there and be what it is, and that's just going to be Warlords, and whatever they're working on now, they're hard at work. And then when it came out, we were like, whoa, Legion is the best expansion you guys have made in a long time, maybe the best you've ever made. Incredible. Almost like this feeling of like the every other feeling, like they're working really hard on the next expansion to the point that it actually affects how you feel, a little lackluster about the tail end of the last one. So I hope that feeling translates to, oh my gosh, Shadowlands is an amazing expansion. And now I understand there, you know, it was all hands on deck sooner than we thought. And, you know, BFA was kind of one of the lower, you know, kind of a dip, whereas Legion was a peak. And Shadowlands will be another peak, and then we can look forward to the next one being a dip again. I don't know. But do you think there's anything to that, Patrick, or am I just seeing patterns where there are none? Because I do feel like I'm seeing a pattern in these expansions.
There is every other expansion pattern that seems to be real. Mm-hmm. I don't think it, you know, it's like a we're noticing it, but I don't think there's like a rule or physics law or anything that means it has to be like that. I think this one is, it seems fun. I've currently played through like half of the intro quest. I think it's a bit long, honestly. Mm. I want to get into the core of it, which is the horrific visions. and I've played for an hour and a half. And the quests currently I'm playing are not incredible. They're fine, but the nice surprise is the invasions, which I expected to be similar to the rather simple invasions we've had before, and these are a lot more full featured. They're kind of an excuse to do world quests, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that seems like it has a lot more legs than if it was just regular invasions forever. Right?
I see what you're saying. So, we actually got an email that talked about this. Let's see. It says, I got to find this one. That's a really good one. Shoot, where is it? Oh, here it is. Anastasia says, for casual players or those that don't have a group or a bunch of friends to play with, it's a pain in the tush in Pandaria, but Oldham is cool.
Oh.
So it sounds like they're...
I just arrived in Pandaria, and I haven't started the quest yet. But even in Oldham, I was like... I have to say, I understand why they removed the ability to auto-group with mods. Mm-hmm. It made it a little bit too automatic.
Yeah.
I kind of, as a someone who has become a very casual WoW player, I kind of miss it. You know, I like the arcadey loop of just going in, knocking down a bunch of quests and being done. And I wonder if part of my issue is I'm not sure I like the mage anymore. Mm. I like, it's not necessarily that I need a group to do the content that I did. It's solo quests. But the idea that I can't do everything I want because I'm a mage and I'm not, you know, DPS in general, is kind of not intimidating per se, but it makes me want to play less, kind of. It's like, it seems like it's going to be a whole thing, a whole chore to try and do something. I was looking at Mechagon, which is becoming a regular dungeon and that you can play, you know, queue for.
Yeah.
And I know that it's going to be really hard to queue for that one specifically, and even for dungeons in general, because I'm just a DPS. I'm just a lonesome DPS. So anyway, that's a bit of a side thing. But the experience I've had so far for the one quest and a half are cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long legs it has. So
yeah, we'll see. I have a lot of thoughts about longevity at this point, and I worry that in this happens no matter what to a certain percentage of people, but I just worry in a couple of months, people are going to start to just feel like, oh boy, it is a long time till November or whatever the release date is.
Well, I think that happens no matter what, but have you played Horrific Visions?
Yes, yet? They're very or cool. Those are very cool.
Okay, because that's the thing, as a casual player as well, that's what I was trying to get to. I feel like I should be able to get to that a little bit quicker because the quests aren't new. They're not really that different or that... interesting.
Well, you don't like hearing visions, which is Magni yell, "I'll meet you there," about every 5 minutes.
Oh, exactly. Magni. Oh, we haven't talked about any of we should probably talk about the bits where the
story stuff.
What's his name shows up.
I got a new quest. I got to meet him somewhere. Okay, all right. I'll hand that in and get a new quest. Well, I got to meet him over here.
Yeah, that dude teleports to a lot of places, I found, and then waits for you to show up there. But what's his name shows up? I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Prince Dirtbag, handsome boy. What's his name?
Rathion
shows up. Yep.
Thirsty dragon.
Sexy son of Deathwing is the official name.
You sexy son of a Deathwing.
It's a great thing. You would do worse to be called something else. But hey, look. So
I cannot stop staring at his hair.
He's got his hair is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's just incredible.
I mean, incredible in some ways. In other ways, kind of obnoxious.
In some of the best ways.
Yeah, he's fine.
Is it obnoxious because you can't stop staring at it longingly, Scott? Is that why the hair is obnoxious? Is it obnoxious because you want to know what product he's using?
I mean, part of it is, you know what? They really nailed it because when he walks in there and Anduin's kind of frustrated on the throne and he's like, oh, great, another advisor, that whole thing. He shows up and Anduin clocks him. and like knocks.
The most interesting Anduin has ever been.
I 100% agree. This is what I was waiting for Anduin. Like, finally, we take that dude to a place where I can understand why he feels this way. It's good. When else have you been like, oh, Team Anduin, let's go? Name a time.
I mean, the thing is, Anduin's been interesting because he's different from everyone else, and he's rational and wants to avoid conflict. I'm not saying he isn't that anymore. He just, you know, punched Rathian once, but it's not. I don't know that he wasn't interesting before, I guess, is what I'm
saying. Fair point. But when you punch somebody so hard, their scales come off and you're not even in dragon form.
That's pretty cool. That awesome. Is badass. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
It's very cool. So hats off to Taron Gregory and his team for another sweet in-game cinematic. Or I guess not in-game, but that
they're so good.
Middle game cinematic. They are very good.
It's in-game.
Yeah. I mean, it's in-game, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's not being rendered on the fly. It's still video.
We now have
three tiers
of cinematics. There's like the pre-rendered beautiful stuff that we usually get only for new expansions, but we've gotten a ton of them this expansion.
Yeah.
There's this, which is like in-game, but like using a lot of different effects and actually it looks really nice and it's pretty. And then there's like in-game, which looks janky and usually has your character model in it.
Yeah. And they move that stuff's weird. I don't love those. But the second tier, which is what we're talking about, has just gotten better and better and better. And, you know, I'd watch a whole movie based on that stuff. It's really good.
Watch this and then go watch the original Wrathgate. They've come so far.
It's not even close. It's like a different world. It's pretty incredible.
And yet, watching the OG unspecialized Death Star run, I still watch Wrathgate and get all.
I don't tear up or anything, but I get excited. Did they think we had forgotten? Did they think we had forgiven? Ha, 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 ha. Anyway, what was I going to say? I would have liked a full-blown Tier 1 animated version of this confrontation, but I think, here's my theory, the entire cinematics team at Blizzard, the ones that do the top tier, the fully rendered business, I think they're all lying in sort of a convalescence ward trying to repair themselves after the work they did with Diablo 4. So I don't blame them. I just think they're all pooped and probably are well working ahead on whatever is going to happen for Shadowlands' launch. So watch for that. All right. This is a good time as any for me to insert this interview. So I'm going to stick it in here now. When we come back, thoughts from the community and our reactions. We'll be right back.
A great gust blew the Monkey King away.
I'm Scott Johnson, as always, and today we're going to do something a little different. We haven't had an interview in a while with a dev at Blizzard, and I'm excited to have on the show with me today, Jeremy Fiesel, game designer with the World of Warcraft team. Here we are post 8.3, and we're so happy to have Jeremy with us. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Great to have you on. I was a big fan of your part in a certain aspect of BFA not long ago, and that is the Island Expeditions. I know you had a lot to do with those.
I spent most of my time working on Battle for Azeroth with the Islands team.
I loved those. That aspect of the game. And I thought I'd start today by just saying, a lot of systems, they come into an expansion and they see their beginning, their midlife, and their end life in the same expansion. And then we have new systems, the new expansion. And you don't always see a lot of those systems carry forward. I'm curious if Shadowlands will see anything iterated from or that came out of what you guys learned from Island Expeditions.
Well, that was one of the kind of interesting things about as we were evolving Battle for Azeroth through all of the different content updates was taking this wide variety of different systems and seeing what ways we could play with them. You know, what additional things can you add that change up your day-to-day gameplay and make things a little bit more interesting and give us some great opportunities to experiment with things like, adding new islands or adding new island ecologies. And then now, in the latest update in Visions of N'Zoth, we added a couple of new things for islands. There's the ability to purchase a bag that has, an item that you've probably been looking for on islands up until now. So if you're one of those mount hunters that's really been after this particular island's mount, you can finally go and spend some of your currency in order to sort of target that particular reward, which is something players have been asking for a while. And then there's also this completely crazy teaming islands brawl, which is like a 10v10 PvP island that's going to be completely wacky that the PvP team worked on. So something that, yeah, we've continued evolving all the way up into visions of N'Zoth, and sort of the foundations that we've learned from both Island Expeditions, as well as the recent feature, the horrific visions of N'Zoth, that also, you know, have some of that small group, you know, 1 to 5 player replayability, high replayability value associated with them, are definitely informing how we're looking at one of our big features in Shadowlands, and that's Torghast, the Tower of the Damned, this sort of roguelike end game system. But parts of that were definitely born out of everything we learned on the island system, for sure.
I'm a gigantic roguelike and roguelite fan. I play a lot of little indie games that sort of are built around those systems. So refreshing to see that sort of thing come into Warcraft. I'm curious, are you or others on the team kind of hard-boiled roguelike fans? Is that where all that passion comes from?
Absolutely. A bunch of us are like hardcore old school roguelike fans. And, you know, we've all played like Rogue Legacy and Dead Cells. And in particular, I play a lot of Dungeon Crawl, which is kind of really, really old school ASCII.
Oh, right.
Roguelike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember playing a bunch of weird stuff back in the day that were just like, it informs so much of what I love about games now. Well, that's awesome. I'm excited to see how that stuff goes. Back to 8.3 a little bit, or staying within 8.3. Visions of N'Zoth has been out for a couple of days. You guys seem pretty pleased with what you've got. I guess, what's the general temperature around the team? Are you excited about what people are going to deal with today, as well as when the new instance starts to hit and people are starting to play that?
Very excited to see what the sort of hardcore 12 boss raid is going to look like, especially during, you know, those first couple of weeks of top tier progression. Like, those are always super fun to watch for our team. You know, we put it up on the big screen in the middle of the encounter pit. Everybody sort of gathers around for all the exciting moments. We do actually clap for players when they win. We're not like disappointed. So it's a positive thing for us too.
Sure.
The bosses are supposed to lose convincingly. That's a boss's job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them are much more convincing than others.
Sure.
But yeah, so I think that, you know, especially the sort of overall package that came with Visions of N'Zoth, we're very happy with. The concept of N'Zoth as an enemy, as this, you know, sort of crazy bad guy, comes through from the very beginning of the questing all the way through Lesser Visions and through Horrific Visions, and having all of these elements layer on top of each other but have a very consistent theme, I think has really helped get across sort of the theme of the patch as a whole. It feels like a very cohesive package.
Yeah, I agree. And it's great to be back to Ice Crown a little and back to Pandaria a little and just sort of, I don't know, pull parts of the world back in that we haven't been to in a while, if we haven't been alting or something, and see them play key parts in not just story, but in, you know, some of the broad mechanics of the content in this patch. And I think that stuff's really great to see. In fact, kind of leads into this question we got from a listener. His name is Sethos. He plays on Earthen Ring, and he had this question. 8.25 story content felt super impactful with the conclusion of the war campaign. How does 8.3 feel in terms of story and lead up to Shadowlands? Are you guys happy with, I guess, the progression of where the story is now and how it will ultimately lead to Shadowlands?
I think it's ultimately a strong finale for Battle for Azeroth as a whole. Like, we're taking on this very insidious bad guy who has been whispering at us for many years. It's an awesome kind of sort of fan favorite ethos going into the mythos going into the old god elements, and we really wanted to take that to 11 this time. Like, not only have the old god take over multiple zones, but also when you go into Nyalotha, the raid for this particular content update, being able to show for the first time, this isn't an old god that's chained up anymore. This isn't C'Thun down at the bottom of Ankaraj, right? Like, surrounded by bugs and sand. This is his world and his vision for the terrifying future. And I think that really gets to, like, what N'Zoth is all about. When we were initial concepting, like, the raid, we basically just took a look at the Chronicle. And there's that one awesome page that shows the Black Empire back when it was giant ziggurats that towered over these Cathraxi generals. And, you know, N'Zoth in the background. And we just said, yeah, no, we're making that. We're totally. That's what you want to end an expansion pack on. So as far as, like, a finale, I think it's a spectacular finale. It's a great way for players to, you know, finally take it to an old god. And it gave us the opportunity to do some really fun stuff with for example, the corrupted gear, and with kind of playing with people's expectations, and then creating a really long-tailed gameplay element for players with the horrific visions where it feels like there's a lot of different difficulties that you can challenge yourself with over time. I think all those are great things to end an expansion pack on.
I agree. It's fun to also see it shift from this sort of on-the-ground approach that we've had with BFA, a lot of sort of political upheaval and stuff going on and that sort of thing, and then be reminded, as we often are in Warcraft, that there are powers at play that we don't necessarily understand or forgot were there or have been there all along and now have a chance to make a mess of things.
And I think that you hit kind of this story crescendo there that had its finale with Starfang facing off against Sylvanas. And everybody needs to have a little bit of that breathing time so that we can show what's happening within the Alliance. And we can show interactions between Anduin and Rathian, of course, which, we had to. And we can show things like what's going on with the Horde and why did they not want the Volpera to join them yet? If you went through the Volpera quest line, it's very much about, we're a fractured leadership right now, and we need to take stock of what's going on. We need to talk with each other and figure out what the plan is moving forward before anybody can even lead an army to go, find Sylvanas, which will be the next step after this. But, things came up. N'Zoth.
Yeah, a very specific thing, if you want to look at it. I mean, I haven't seen as many tentacles since Yogg-Saron was hanging around. So it's fun to play around in that kind of Eldritch Horror sort of space in Warcraft, a place we don't get to spend a ton of time in. This has been a question of mine for a while. Does it feel risky, or did it feel risky to you guys, or was it a challenge, I guess, to try to get into that stuff and make a major mechanical change to the way people are playing it on a day-to-day basis that deals with how their minds are being affected? In other words, instead of saying, well, here's a thing in front of you and you've got to kill it, this is a little bit like, well, it's not unlike some raid instances in the past where, you lose control of your character and everyone's got to DPS you down until you get your control back or whatever. It feels like kind of madness as a concept can be tricky in games. And I wonder if that was a challenge for you guys.
So I think that the real challenge there is when you try to hit that value or in a gameplay sense and in a story sense in a bunch of different systems and making them feel like when they're all overlapped, it feels like a cohesive package. So in this case, that is coming up with the sanity mechanics, both for lesser visions and for horrific visions, making sure those are consistent between the two gameplay elements and that they add to your experience. And I think it really helps add a sort of visual timer to horrific visions that gives you that extra sort of timer stress and gameplay stress of looking out for particular enemies or particular abilities that makes it a little bit more interesting. It's like having an additional health bar. But then that has to live harmoniously with the effects of, say, getting corrupted gear in a way such that a player has an interesting decision to make there about, I can't get quite very far in visions on my own. I'm going to take more pieces of corrupted gear. I'm going to deal with this extra gameplay element because it gives me extra power, because that's how I want to play. Mm. And making sure that when you combine all those things, it, really hits that play style of that player in a way that makes them feel satisfied for winning and getting further and being able to counter all those mechanics.
Earlier you mentioned the Volpera, and it reminds me of a question that we got from Kittigree on the Chamber of Aspects server, who had this question. Volpera and Mechanomes are awesome, he says. Are they the final allied races, though, or are there plans to have more going forward? I mean, obviously, there's a lot we don't know about Shadowlands, but in a more near-term sense, are these the big cappers to the allied races for a while?
So we like the allied race system. It provides players with sort of this awesome additional layer of customization, both for what their character looks like, as well as the backstory of their character, which I think is really important to some people. And then it gives us the opportunity to mess around with new racials, too, which is something we don't get to do all that often. So we can come up with some wacky and overpowered ones like, the Volpera bag of tricks or the make camp ability, which I think players are having a lot of fun with already. Or the Mechanomes ability that they have, a key in their pinky, because that feels really like a mechanical gnome. That's something we don't get to design, super often. So it was a lot of fun to play around with. And I think that we like the system a lot. I don't know if when the next time we're going to see an allied races, we're going to have to go through some story probably and then see what feels right. I think there's a certain amount of getting the player involved with a particular group before we're ready to make it an allied race.
Well,
so nothing to announce right now, but we like the system and I wouldn't say that we would never do another one in the future.
Sure. I like, I like where you went with that. It's actually a good reminder once in a while to remember that these allied races don't just happen. They're usually, they seem to be tied to a story element or something in the game that, you know, necessitates the need for, okay, now it's time to unlock this race. We need the High Mountain Tauren now. This is when we need them or whatever. Am I right in assuming that you guys like the idea of the you know, let the, we don't just willy-nilly say, here are some races we're putting out, folks. It's more like, no, here are these creatures or these beings you spent a bunch of time with. You've come to maybe even love this race and dealing with them and building rep for them, and now you can be them. Am I right to assume that that's kind of how you guys prefer to do things rather than just say, oh, here's a list of races. Let's just start shovel them off to the community.
Yeah, totally. You want, I mean, it's going to be a member of your faction that your friends are going to race. Change into, you're going to see it running around your capital city. You want to know a lot about what that group is about. It also allows us to provide some really interesting sort of diplomatic interactions between the leaders of these different groups, which helps, you know, expand our existing faction characters like Anduin, or say, you know, when Mela Highmountain is now joining Bane on a lot of his adventures. That's interesting. And suddenly these additional stories start to kind of blossom out from there. And none of that's meaningful without, you know, a huge amount of backstory.
Yeah. We got a question here from Soapy Pony. Great name. Didn't specify his server, but he says this. If I level a Lightforged DK, will I get Heritage Armor, or can I only get it when I'm leveling a non-DK from level 20? And this is, I mean, this is a little bit Shadowlands related, but we got a lot of DK questions out there floating around. It made me think that maybe this hasn't been answered. So maybe you can, maybe you can't.
I'm actually not sure of the answer to that one. I think you have to level it from 20, but yeah, not sure actually.
So that would be my take as well, but don't take my word for it. We're not sure. But the 50 or so people that said I should ask that question.
Now, we should look into that and get you a response.
Now, you know, there is no answer yet. Just... They'll be fine for now. Wrath and Kata had these fantastic sort of pre-final raid heroic dungeons in ICC and End Times, respectively. I loved that stuff back in the day. And a bunch of people were asking the question, this seems like a great time to bring some of that stuff back. Are you guys planning on doing anything similar this time around? Post 8.3.
So I think that the idea of putting out dungeons as content update content is interesting, and it's something that we've done in the past. That was one of our intents behind the Mechagon Mega Dungeon this time around, and what we ended up doing in Visions of N'Zoth was the split of that into two separate wings for the heroic version. And so that with 8.3 being our final large content update, we're not going to see another dungeon, but yeah, we like the idea.
And I think they've made that pretty clear. Even at BlizzCon, it was reiterated that 8.3 is the final major content patch of this.
Correct.
of this run, which means, you know, there's a lot there to do, but people can start setting their sights on where am I going to be when Shadowlands comes out. So very exciting times. I love this transition period. It's always fun to just get excited about new stuff coming. Play around with the latest release, and I think other players are feeling that too. I got a message here from Oppressed from the Lothar US server. I hope he's not actually oppressed in real life. He says, we have seen hints of N'Zoth throughout many expansions now. How long has N'Zoth's storyline been waiting to be told? Have you guys just been sitting on that one for years going, man, we got to get to that guy one day?
Pretty much. I mean, it's always been in the back of our mind that there were these three sort of major old god forces that were remaining. And we've been through two of them, kind of two and a half, I guess, if you talk about Ysarge's heart going off and doing Ysarge things. And it was always in the back of our mind of, hey, you know, N'Zoth should come about at the right time. We wanted that to be related to Nazjatar, because, you know, obviously there's a strong interaction between the two. But it wasn't until we started ideating for what the overarching story of this expansion before we really knew that made a lot of sense. You've got a story about two factions that are warring with each other and making kind of interesting decisions that in some cases are a little bit out of character. And if you recall, all the way back prior to the launch of Battle for Azeroth, N'Zoth was already N'Zoth is already a part of the Warbringers series long, long time ago.
Right.
So he's always been a little bit in the background here as something that's kind of been whispering around and just waiting for the right time. He was always one of the weaker of the old gods, but the one that did the most thinking. So he, you know, obviously he survived the longest. So there's something to be said for thinking.
Yeah, that dude, he's resilient, if nothing else, I suppose, as old gods go. Here's a question from Tanner Goodman, plays Salem on the Earthen Ring server. That's our server. So this is about auction houses. And one of my favorite parts of 8.3 is the changes to the auction house. He says, regarding the much needed and appreciated improvements to the auction house, will we ever get a cross-realm auction house? Some servers have got great economies, others not so great. Would really love to see a multi-server auction house in the future. This has been broached a few times at BlizzCons and other things, but I don't know. Wondering what the current thinking is on that. Will we ever see cross-faction slash cross-realm auction houses?
I don't believe there are any plans for that right now. Certainly an interesting idea, and we're really looking forward to people's feedback now that I'm assuming we're going to be seeing a decent uptick of people that have never even used the auction house before getting on there and playing around with it. So we'll get a whole new round of feedback, and then we'll see where we go from there.
I am a horrendous auction house player. I don't make a lot of money. I'm not good at it, but I can tell you just even from my sort of crappy skills when it comes to being good at auction house stuff, these changes are great. Absolutely loving the update. So whoever was in charge of that, well done to them. That was amazing.
Yeah, I think our UI team really just kicked it out of the park.
They did a really good job. Got a kind of a, well, okay, this is my question, but Rathion, who's back now, a little more mature, very handsome these days. Well, that's a good point. But did you guys know just how meme-y he was going to be? Like my internet feeds, my social feeds are just crammed with Rathion jokes and Rathion memes. In the last 3 or 4 days, was that pretty apparent early on? I mean, you saw some art and went, "Oh boy, okay, this guy's going to be great."
When you're sitting down with like Taryn Gregory and the IGC guys talking about, you know, what is our next big character moment going to be? There's always a little bit of that discussion or thinking in the background about, Magni's short, and that's going to be funny. This time, when he pitched, you know, Anduin punching Rathion in the face and that flinging some scales off of him. Yeah, everybody knew what was coming.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, it turned out really great, and I really like talking to Taryn about this sort of stuff as well, and I'm always curious about how those processes happen internally. And so thank you for the brief glimpse into what it's like to build a new meme out of Rathion. We got a number of questions saying, are Rathion and Anduin ever going to be a number? We don't have to answer that here, but I don't know. Love is in the air. We'll have to see.
They got to focus on Nazoth right now.
That's right. There are bigger fish to fry in Azeroth at the moment. I got a great one here that comes up all the time on our show, and not just from listeners, but from hosts as well. Benjen on Blade's Edge wrote in and says, I love the tabard system in Wrath of the Lich King. I'd love to see that come back and allow us to gain rep and or currency doing other activities in the game. Any chance of a comeback? I think I already know the answer to this in terms of the short term, but I'm curious if that's gotten any talk on the team.
So it's one of the things that comes up fairly regularly when we're discussing improvements that we'd like to make moving into the Shadowlands for elements like world quests and emissaries. And one of the things that we're looking into for sure is, are there ways to give players more agency in how they obtain reputation? Mm-hmm. Because it was definitely feeling a little bit like, okay, I can go do my world quests, but is there something additional that I can do, maybe even, you know, doing other types of content or with a particular gating to it so you can't just, you know, run dungeons for 24 hours? But are there other ways that I can sort of express my agency as a player? And that's definitely one of the things we're focusing on for our next round.
I'm with him. And I kind of, there's times I forgot that was even a thing or why I was doing it, because there was a while in Wrath where that's all I wanted to do was run dungeons. I just loved it. I didn't care how repetitive they felt. I didn't care how many times I did them. I just loved doing them. And there was just this added benefit that, oh yeah, this tabard I'm wearing is actually benefiting me with rep, which I, you know, there are times in my WoW life where I have not wanted to do rep grinding, and that made it easy. So I can see why a lot of players are kind of looking for something like that again, and I'd be curious to see what you guys do in the future.
And I think we want to support that type of player's playstyle. If you're, you know, the dungeoning player that even wants to level your character up during dungeons, then we should be supportive of that in any way that we can. We just want to avoid the kind of degenerate cases.
I think that it's going to about do it for us, Jeremy. This is amazing to have you on here. I'm very excited about not just this patch, but what's to come for World of Warcraft. Shadowlands is looking so cool and so many great new systems coming. I'm very excited about the future of World of Warcraft as much as I ever have been. And really look forward to seeing what else you guys do as a team. So thank you so much for being here and being a part of it today.
Sure, man. Thank you. Great questions.
Do you know what she's done while you've been hiding? I left that life behind. I'm no one's savior. I will not lead the Horde. I didn't ask.
And we're back. That was a great interview. Here on the live show, we just sort of didn't do anything. We just moved on. But thanks, Jeremy Fiesel, once again for being on the show. And thank you, Blizzard, for making that possible. It was great to have him on. And I look forward to talking to him again. He was a cool dude. All right. Some of your thoughts from the community that we can respond to here. For example, Sethos from Earthen Ring. We know that server because we have characters there, Garrett and I. It's good, he says, about the patch. I like the loop. Oh, no, this is Lodvar. Different person, sorry. Lodvar says, it's good, I like the loop, but the introduction is way too long. Also, make those essences account wide. Come on, says Lodvar. Seems to agree with Patrick on the introduction being a little too long. A little long in the tooth there.
I'm with Patrick, I'm with Lodvar, because, like, I don't mind that this is kind of a lighter patch, and now that I finally have flying, I'm very much ready to go alt crazy, but God, man, this expansion is just rough for alts.
Yeah.
It is rough, and it's not getting better.
No, not alt-friendly. I mean, I don't know that Legion was all that alt-friendly, but it was
alt-friendly. No, it wasn't. Well, if there was a major critique I would throw towards Legion, it's that.
Yeah,
kind of kick this off, and but at least gone away in BFA.
That's true, but at least that alt experience was almost like its own game because the weapon progression stuff was unique to every class, and so you were doing something completely different than you were doing on the other one. It's not like you're repeating a lot of content.
The questing was unique, but just the process of leveling it up wasn't really. No, you were just hanging out in your order hall doing the same junk you were doing in your other order hall.
That's true. It's just different skin on the same stuff, I guess, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. The class hall quests, yeah, those were super, super unique, and I loved doing those.
Yeah, that sounds right. Here's one from Sethos, who I mentioned before. It says, I'm really enjoying the Horrific Visions loop, but the fact that the story doesn't have much going on beyond the initial unlock cloak, do a vision, now go kill N'Zoth chain, is a big bummer. After the war campaign patches, I was expecting a little more, says Sethos. Yeah, I mean, again, I think this, we've sort of said it, it's somewhat light patch by all accounts, by previous expansion standards, or certainly by the last expansion standards, but it feels about in line with Warlords and maybe a bit Cataclysm-y in terms of final content. Although Cataclysm, what was Cataclysm's final patch? What did they give us there? I don't remember.
It was the final raid with Deathwing.
Was it? That was the final thing they did, right?
I think you're thinking of Ruby Sanctum being tacked onto the very, very end of Wrath of the Lich King.
Oh, that is what I'm thinking of. And that wasn't very good, Ruby Sanctum.
It was, yeah, it very much felt like a stopgap.
Yeah, that was like a, hey, we gotta do something because we got a long time before whatever. But the end of Pandaria didn't feel, Pandaria felt really long in the tooth to me. Like it really went. It really stayed until the end and had something to do all the way to the end. But if you ask me what that was that I was doing, I probably couldn't tell you. A lot of dailies, I know. I did a lot of freaking dailies.
I honestly can't think of a single expansion that I feel like gave me enough to do until the next expansion in the end. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I've always, at the end of every WoW expansion, gone, all right, when are we getting something else?
That's a good point. Here's another Patrick. Patrick, there's another Patrick who wrote in. You want to hear this from Patrick?
He's got to be good.
Says, hey, Instance Crew, long time, first time. I noticed a number of bugs and issues with this patch, major one being that Magni just decided he wanted to fall through the elevator ad infinitum while in the halls of origination.
Oh, that's not great.
Yep. Oh, laddie, you'll have to come back and reset the quest, laddie. All right, not to mention just not being able to accept or complete quests. I'm not seeing any of that personally, but I guess to each his own. Anyway, he says, not sure if you've had any issues, but do you think the new pressure from Activision could be pushing content too quickly? No, I think that, I mean, I understand that sentiment sometimes. And there's always, when something goes wrong, it's easy to go, could this be Activision meddling in our plans once again? Like, this is a little too easy of a go-to for that sort of thing. But in this case, no. Like, bugs happen. Sometimes they're clients, sometimes they're servers, sometimes they're both. Sometimes it's just busy servers on the week of a new patch. Like, I wouldn't read too much into that. They'll tighten that stuff up. Not a big deal.
I mean, we're talking about literally the company that has been flamed ad nauseum for not releasing games and canceling games and saying they weren't releasing games like a few months ago, and they're still in that situation.
Listen, this isn't the CD Projekt Red podcast, Patrick.
Yeah, those guys.
No, but you know what I mean? I mean, obviously they haven't released anything for the past couple of years, and there have been a lot of issues with that. So, you know, we can't have it both ways. Yell at them for not releasing companies, releasing games, and then saying, "Oh, they're being pushed to release too fast."
Yeah,
I'm just really amused by how minor this bug is to me, and that the Patrick the writer in is just jumps straight to conspiracy.
Oh, he's asking, I guess. You know, he's not being obnoxious about it, but
I don't think he's being obnoxious. I just think it's funny. I think he's just like, yeah. Like,
it's like, an easy go-to.
Someone fell through the floor. Oh, it's Bobby Kotick. He's here. This is his fault.
For some reason, my quest giver disappeared. The NPC's gone. Kotick.
I'm not saying that's how Leopold meant this. It's how I'm reading it in my head, and I find it amusing.
Oh, yeah, I should say that. Leopold on Dragonspire Horde, or Dragonspine Horde is where he's from.
Daggerspine.
What'd I say? Dragon? Dragger. Dagon. Yeah, dagger.
You said two different things, and they weren't Daggerspine.
Yep, I said nothing of the right thing. Ether wrote in, says, "Good morning, Instance Crew. I'm not quite sure if this is a hot take about the new 8.3 patch, but so far it seems really interesting. My big sort of complaint, though, is that I played a lot of BFA, mostly for the story, and never got super hardcore into the expansion due to grad school. I raided a little in my guild, Goa'uld, but I was never a high DPS or a lock super geared because of time, or as a lock or super geared because of time." That makes sense. Anyway, however, not that I'm done completely with grad school.
Can we pause for just a second to berate him for choosing to work hard at school instead of playing WoW? I mean, what a noob.
Why, right?
Seriously.
How do you even call yourself a player? My gosh.
How dare you try and build yourself a life of value?
Yeah. How dare you think of your future and all the potential you have? Why? Why would you do it? Why don't you just play 10 hours a day in 2020?
Look at this.
People like that, seriously. They're just like barely one notch above the people who blame Kotick for everything. Seriously. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why Patrick's Skype is... you're currently blocked. I don't know why you're frozen.
It's because Patrick, at the start of the show, before we actually got online, said, "I don't understand why everyone craps on Skype."
Yeah.
Well, I can.
So
give you
wait,
two
what's
examples.
Happening? Can I do anything to fix it?
Alt tab and see.
You
what
look
happens.
Like the T-1000 after Arnold shot it in the face with a shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, and on my side, you're just frozen. So it depends on where we're getting.
Should I remove video then? Do we?
That's up to you. You guys want to just see my ugly face for the rest of the thing stream? Yeah.
Let's try to reset video. Whoa. And we'll see if it helps.
Oh, that totally fixed. Yeah, you're good now.
Okay. Excellent.
You're
welcome.
All right. So anyway, grad school guy. He says this. He says he has a slight hot take that isn't too much. I'm so overwhelmed with the amount of things to do, I guess. I don't even know where to begin. I finally figured out where to start the new Oldham campaign last night, but unfortunately I started the instance about 10 minutes before the server/instance shut down last night, so I might try it again tonight. I just think that there is a bit too much, which I think is good for the people who stuck with each patch on release. Maybe good for me in the long run, but right now it just feels stressful. Sorry that not might have all been a bit of a word jumble. Hope you all enjoy if you're playing right now, says Ether. Well, Ether, this is an age-old thing, though. If you have not been in for a while and you come back to the game, there's a ton to do. Ton to do. If you've kept up with BFA, you're going to feel like there's less to do, or that you're going to feel like this isn't that much tacked on to the end as a major patch. So it really does kind of depend on when you're coming at the game. I can't even imagine what a new player feels like right now. Like, if you came to this game and it says, "Oh, this comes with a boost to 110, does it?" interesting. Let's just take that boost and let's start wherever it puts me. It's overwhelming. The number of systems that are in the game now compared to if people had started a long time ago and came back, or if you never touched it ever, like it's a big beast, and it's a thing they have to balance, and it's hard. So I don't, you know, I understand how you feel. But
I think at least when you come back for the start of an expansion, it's definitely a lot more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back, like especially on the last patch, it is really hard.
Yeah, this is true. Sean says, intro is lovely, and first time around, the daily loot feels easy to achieve and rewarding. Really looking forward to seeing the raid in a week and the cloak upgrades. Some performance hitches on OS 10, though. That is to say, macOS Catalina. Haven't taken away from my enjoyment, though. So a good review from a Mac user. Always good to see. Don says, love the quest chain in the intro. Not sure about my desire to run it on multiple characters. Again, not very alt-friendly. But when is the game alt-friendly? Not very
even often. Even for me, I was saying earlier, I'm not super happy with my DPS right now. I was thinking, you know, I have a few characters at 110, including my druid, which I often play. I can't, you know, the prospect of leveling and then having to do all of this again for someone who's relatively casual, and like, whatever, I'm just going to stick with the DPS and wait to see what happens next expansion.
Do you feel like part of the problem with your mage is not just that it's you're a DPS, so therefore you're not going to get, you know, you don't get the same love that a tank or a healer does in group content? Is it that, or is
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I know that's what you're saying, but do you think part of it is that you don't like where the mage is now? Like how
it's possible.
Mechanically, is it not doing it for you anymore? I'm just curious about the state of the mage, because you've played that mage since the dawn of man.
Yeah, it was my first character. I've gone to the druid to have more flexibility over the expansions, and now I figured, you know, I'm going to try the mage again, and I'm not. I think I'm going to switch back just because I play a little bit less or a lot less. Mm. But yeah, also I've been staunchly attached to the fire spec, and I guess it's not the most fun one or not the most I should switch it up a little bit. I have three specs and I don't know why I'm sticking to the one. I should switch it up, I suppose. Maybe I'll try that. But my worry is more that when I want to do something, horrific visions is fine because you can play solo or, you know, only DPS or whatever. But anything grouped, then I know it's going to be tough. And maybe it's also because I have the memory of that horrendous anniversary raid when I had to wait like, you know, 2 or 3 hours to do one wing.
That was bad.
And it's not going to be like that. Right. When for regular dungeons, it's usually about 10 minutes, which is much more manageable. But I don't know. It's how I feel.
I
feel. Okay. Feelings are real too.
I completely agree. Like my feeling right now, and I keep saying this might just be a me thing because I think it might be, but I have this problem, and I do it with all sorts of things. Phones, computing technology, sequels to movies. Like when something new gets announced, I suddenly go, like what you... Like, how interested am I in playing, dusting off my PlayStation 4 today? Not at all. Why? Because I know there's a new box coming, and I don't care anymore about the current thing. I don't know why I do that, but I do it with everything, and WoW's no different. I care about it a little bit more.
That's not the same thing at all, though.
It kind of is. When you say, yeah, oh yeah, when you say to me, if you say to me, hey, there's this cool new patch for WoW, and... I know that Shadowlands is coming later in the year. In my mind, the expansion is like the new thing. And so to me, it's kind of the same thing. Same thing goes for consoles. I don't want to play current gen consoles. I want to see what's next. And when I know I have a slower video card than everyone else is using, drives me crazy. And it's not like a jealousy, like I got to have what everybody else has thing. It's not that. It's just... I fixate on what's next, and I can't wait for that. And so what's current, I just know it's temporary. I just know that this is all going to go away soon, and that's how this feels a little bit for me. Again, it's a me thing, and I've done it since the beginning. So WoW has always been this for me since day one. When BC was announced, I was like, well, vanilla, I don't want to play them. I don't want to play. I want to play this expansion when it comes out. And then when same thing happens when Wrath came or was coming out, and I'm like, well, I don't want to play any more BC. I want to play Wrath of the Lich King. That sounds amazing. So it's just that. And I need to work on that because it's not the healthiest approach to video games. But then again, I'm playing The Witcher 3 again now for who knows why. And it's not the show's fault. I haven't even seen the whole show yet. It's not even that. It's just, you know what it is. It's just, that's an amazing game, and it holds up 5 years later and looks brand new and beautiful still. And there's no reason not to play it. And there's tons of gameplay there. Plus now I got to wait till September for the next game. So I certainly make exceptions.
What were we talking again? What were we talking about?
You know,
again?
Video games and how
right.
Yeah. Video games. And now they're, you know, I don't like the old and busted even when they're not. And that's, again, it's a me thing, and I'll work on it. Okay. I'll work on it. Justin says, love the Alliance quest. Just had fun time going through it. Looking forward to the raid. But more importantly, I'm super stoked to watch the race to world first again. Really like the cloak, daily quest, visions too. Just something new and fun to do again. So a very positive take from Justin, who said that on Twitter. Antonio says, I died a lot because of my stubbornly use of gear with too much corruption on it. So don't do that in the horrific visions, I guess. There's a way to overdo it.
So has corrupted gear been in the game since the last patch, or is it a new thing of this patch?
Yeah, it's a new thing.
Brand new thing, yeah.
It's a new thing, okay. I wanted to mention it. It is a mechanic that I really like. I think it's really cool. I just figured out what it was. I knew about it before, but seeing it like on my gear, I think it's a really cool new way to approach gearing, which is, you know, the thing we do the most in the game. So I do want to give them points for that.
I agree.
I've been a little bit more negative.
Well, same. Really like it.
That is cool.
Yeah, that part's cool. I mean, actually, Garrett, this is a good question. How do you feel about the Eldritch Horror sort of tentacle, you know, monster stuff in general?
Like, it's fantastic as long as you're not an Oldham, because I'm pretty sure they forgot they were supposed to put tentacles out there.
They forgot the tentacles, you're saying? All right.
Dude, the veil looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they did a really good job. When I went out there, I was like, holy crap, look at this. There's tentacles and eyeballs everywhere. There's some new creepy underground thing where you got to go fight a big monster. Mm-hmm. It's everything I wanted. And then I went to Oldham. I'm like, this is just freaking Oldham.
Yeah, it's kind of just Oldham.
It looks the same.
Yeah, which I like. I already like Oldham.
You start with, in the Horde, you start with Pandaria?
Yes, right?
Because in the Alliance, you start with Oldham, and maybe that's why I was really underwhelmed. It was just like, okay,
it's Oldham. Yeah. And
you do quests. Well, I went to Oldham first as well. I think you can choose.
Okay. Can't you choose?
No. You go to Oldham first.
You do go to Oldham first.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it mixed up.
And I stopped after that,
yeah,
and I didn't go back until late that evening to pick it back up. Yeah. And like, I was talking to some friends about it, like, what do you think about 8.3? And I'm like, I think this is the worst thing I've ever played. Because the only thing I had seen was Oldham.
Yeah.
And it's bad, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's then just, that night, I went out to Vale of Eternal Blossoms, and I'm like, dude, this looks amazing. Oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. Like, and you need you need that too. You need the, I don't know. For this patch to work for me in this sort of a mechanic of sanity and insanity, for it to work, I need the aesthetic to be there. You know, I need to just see these eyeballs on everything. I need to feel that sense of that stuff.
Oldham feels very much like a just a little tacked on extra piece of Cataclysm, because it's very brightly lit. I'm fighting the same kind of things I was fighting in Cata. Like, I don't know. It's not doing it for me.
Yeah. Well, more tentacles, please.
I have hope.
Yeah. Maybe tentacles don't like sand. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. How does that work? Tentacles are allergic to sand.
We're all Anakin Skywalker now.
Oh, my gosh. It's all come full circle. We got a couple more emails, but I'm going to save them for later in the show because they're just a little more general. But a lot of good feedback, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of talk. Hope people are enjoying the patch. Let's do a brief look at the rest of Blizzard. Oh, that's not right. There. Here it is. All right, so there's not a lot going on. They tend to pace this stuff out so that the game of the moment is getting its spotlight, and WoW's currently it. But Overwatch, really not a lot going on in there. Other than, you know, it's a fun shooter. Have fun that have fun shooting.
Well, there's the Year of the Rat thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. But they that's just recycled stuff, and there's a couple new skins, right? It's not a huge deal.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Yeah. So not a lot.
Not a big deal. Hearthstone, though. Yeah. Always hearing the Hearthstone's got it kicking. I saw a new video with those guys pretending like they're up in Northrend doing a little news thing. That was kind of cool, Garrett. What's going on? What's going on in Hearthstone?
Well, I mean, that video was for the same thing we talked about last week, Galakrond's Awakening, the final single player edition for this standard year is coming out next week.
Oh, I was gonna ask release. So next week, next Tuesday.
I believe so. I don't know. I never know dates.
Speaking of which, can anyone tell me when did Tuesdays become like the standard day to release your video games and or patches? When did that happen? Because it's not just Blizzard; it's everybody.
2002, I think.
Yeah, that's it. And did someone just stand up and go, I proclaim Tuesday as the day we do new releases, occasionally Friday, but mostly Tuesday.
And plus, hasn't Blizzard been doing a lot of Friday releases?
Yeah, they've been doing some Fridays. And you'll see sometimes big releases. Nintendo does a lot of Fridays for some reason. But it's such a standard now. I want to know the origins of it because I don't know who chose it or why. Maybe it's a trading thing, like when stock markets do things, or maybe it's a, I don't know. I have no idea. Why was the arbitrary thing chosen to do it Tuesday? Is it because right before a launch, you need that Monday to just sort of everyone's heads are together and weekend's over and you didn't have to work all, I mean, like maybe that's it? I don't know. Oh, that used to be, Matuba in the chat says that used to be the day that records would release as well, like music.
Yep.
Interesting.
Might still be? I don't know. I can't remember the last time I went out like on day one to go get a new album.
Yeah, a new VHS back in the day.
I remember in like high school though, going to get American Idiot on Tuesday on release day.
That nice, nice. That's still a great album, by the way.
It's a fantastic album, and sadly relevant again.
Yeah, but also I think a lot of people didn't like it at the time, but I loved it then, and I really like it now. It's a great.
I mean, it like won a Grammy and went platinum pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I think it did all right back then.
Well, didn't people though? They were starting to. Well, whatever. Green Day wasn't.
Green Day has a long history of people throwing shade in their direction.
Yeah, I like whatever. I love Green Day. Green Day's great. Of all those like pseudo punk '90s business things, they're the king. Like no one comes close, in my opinion. What are you going to tell me? Sum 41 is as good as them? No.
They are very good, though. You should go see Sum 41 live. I highly recommend it.
That's nice to hear they're still doing it. Did we have this conversation? We did one time about Sum 41.
Probably. Yeah. I love talking pop punk and will jump at any chance, including derailing the instance to do so.
Hello there. How about them? How you feel about Blink 182? How do you feel about that?
You know I love me some Blink 182. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Blink 182, honestly?
Me. I don't love them. Here's this, though. Listen to this.
Hello there.
I like to play that sometimes. It's fun to play.
Hello there.
Just kind of have it go.
Is that like just the isolated audio of the vocals?
Yeah, playing? There's nothing else, I think.
Hello there.
I don't ever realize how much reverb was on that damn thing.
I don't know where I got it, even. I don't remember where I got it, but pretty great.
Ooh, boy, yeah. But yeah, and Galakrond's Awakening looking very cool. 35 new cards being added to standard and wild.
Very fun. Nice. There you go, then. Still kicking it, and I'm still enjoying Battlegrounds. I'm terrible, but I love it.
I'm doing all right, man. I'm on the climb. I'm figuring it out.
Nice. You're getting there.
It needs a balance update, though. The meta is very figured out.
Yeah, they'll do one.
All right, Scott, are you still having a hard time winning?
Yeah, I am. I'm not.
Force demons. Force demons every time. You'll probably get top four every game.
Force demons. Okay.
Like, force it. Like, just blindly draft demons.
Get the demons. Doesn't matter what, how many I get, whether they become, whether I get three or not, just get.
Try to get a triple on 2-star so that you can discover a floating watcher.
Okay.
And if you don't, get to 3 as fast as possible and just reroll until you find a floating watcher and then just keep grabbing demons.
Okay. All right. No, I like this.
You also need the Wrath Weaver, but that's that 1-star dude that like any that deals damage to you when you play a demon and grows.
Yeah.
That combined with the floating watcher, you just keep playing demons. You're trading your life for stats, and it's stupid, and it's like the most surefire way to get a top four right now.
I'm into top four, so I'll do it. Mush Potatoes in the chat made a little confirmation here. Microsoft introduced Patch Tuesday in October of 2003. to reduce the cost of distributing patches. This system accumulates security patches over a month and dispatches them all on the second Tuesday of each month, an event for which the system administrators may prepare. Apparently, this sort of just caught on, and everybody started doing
Tuesdays. Not sure it's the same for releasing games and stuff, though. I don't know.
That seems more tied to, like, DVD releases, like, because they were, and music. That stuff was happening on Tuesdays already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Tuesday is also a quieter day in the week. People have just come back. Like, Monday, everyone's busy. Tuesday, you're like, not even Wednesday yet. What mm-hmm. is even Tuesday yeah. like? Is this even, what sure. are you talking about? Tuesday is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you put up Patch Tuesday, and then it's more fun.
This is what Patch Tuesday sounds like.
Hello there.
And then it's on your computer. It's all set to go. All right, what else? Heroes of the Storm holding steady, doing their thing. It's just there. It's happening. It's a game. It's great. It's a fun game. People should play that game. Diablo 3, same thing. It's just we're in the middle of Season 17 or whatever it is. And stuff not really happening there. And StarCraft, awful quiet as well. Kind of quiet on the Blizzard front, to be honest. The most noise you're hearing is Hearthstone and WoW at the moment, which are all from the same universe. So I don't know what that tells you, but they know where the money is, I guess. That's it for that. Good stuff in general. Now this. Damn it, why is my volume down?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, some emails just here at the end of the show. By the way, you can send those emails to us at theinstance@gmail.com or leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. We have this one that says, in the last episode of The Instance, Scott Johnson brushed aside the group of people criticizing WoW Classic for its problems as Nostralis people, and then proceeded to make jabs at them without giving any attention to what the community complains about. I think this is a pretty lousy thing to do, he says. I actually agree with him. I think I was a little dismissive of that. I probably shouldn't have been. He says this.
Sometimes on podcasts, you make a comment on the fly that wasn't a planned talking point, and you don't have a lot of meat to spin off of that comment with.
Yeah, it's a good thing to understand. I agree.
That's how it goes down.
You should go into every listening knowing
the comment is respectful, though, isn't it?
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. And he's right. I didn't. But also, I think Garrett's right in a sense, whereas it was like a random pop-up topic wasn't really a thing we were going into.
There was not a note in the show notes last week saying dump on Nostralia's people.
No, that's true.
It came up in an offhand comment.
Right.
I think the comment is more like, I think he would be fine to dump on Nostralia's people, but he wants us to talk about the issues, the valid issues that people are raising about Classic, which is an entirely different thing.
Which is a thing we could and probably should do. Absolutely.
What are the issues then?
Well, this is what he says. There's a whole long list of things that Blizzard has changed by rolling out in a weird patch state. This particular version of Alterac Valley lasted in vanilla about 1 month before the removal of the honor system, rather. This is not the version of AV people wanted, but instead of reading or listening to the host of the instance, the host of the instance would rather just ridicule them for not liking choices Blizzard made.
All right, now he's being a dick. Okay, I'm with you now. That's really not.
I mean, he is deciding to take a certain tone. And by the way, I'm not saying this is everybody in that crowd, but I get a lot of this from people who get really offended by this stuff. And I don't know what that culture is. I don't know why you guys get so worked up. I don't get it. It's just, we're just talking about a game here. However, there's probably lots of valid points about the way Blizzard's handling vanilla versus Nostralis. And I think it would behoove us to learn more about that and talk about it for real on the show. So I'm going to try to do this by next week, where I just have more knowledge about it so I can talk about it educated wise and not just make broad assumptions like Cyber thinks I'm doing. So there you go.
The issue is with Classic, what we were saying when we were saying, well, the problem with Classic is that you can't make everyone happy because there's no one version that is going to make everyone happy unless you just stick to actual Classic. And was it really just 1 month, the honor system? It was just 1 month? I have a hard time believing.
That doesn't seem right to me either, but.
Yeah, I remember people grinding and grinding and grinding. Maybe there was only 1 month of overlap between that and Alterac, and I don't know. I mean, even if he is correct, the reason they did this to advance Alterac was to give people content, right? And it obviously they changed the order of the patches, and so some things are going to get funky. But maybe there is a valid claim there. It's maybe, you know, I'm not a specialist, as you said, Scott. We don't know exactly.
We don't know. That's the whole point. That's exactly the point. But, yeah.
But I think our point, which is launching Classic and doing stuff, is messing with, you know, the will of the gods and the community, because you can't make everyone happy. If they hadn't done that, what they did, other people would have complained that, oh, you don't have to stick to this formula. You could do this and that to make it a little bit more fun. Like, there's no one version of Classic that will make everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a fair point to put forth, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I would also say this. I don't know why, you know, when I called Nostralis people, I'm just saying the people who really liked what that was and were big supporters of it. So I don't mean it as a derogatory or a pejorative term. Also, I would say, if you don't want me to have this impression that you're all so thin-skinned, try not be so thin-skinned. Like, we're just having a conversation here, and I'm happy to talk about these issues. In fact, I want to. And you make a valid point that I just sort of dismissed it out of hand because, again, it wasn't the topic. It isn't what we were going into. And I don't really have a basis for a lot of knowledge about what's going on in that particular community. So I'm happy to dig in more, maybe even interview somebody who knows more. Like, all that stuff's interesting to me. But maybe come at it less. You guys are always so offended by everything. Just so freaked out all the time. Just so blah. Everything just, you get within 5 feet of you and you're like, it's not like I used to be. Blah, 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 and you just freak out. You don't need to be like that. Just have a conversation. It's fine. I think your desires are valid and I want to know about them. But you don't have to be so thin-skinned. All right. Joey Image wrote in. He's in the chat today too, I think.
He is, and apparently doesn't like pop punk, so we could just move on. Ooh,
you know, Joey.
I liked you. I thought you were a really good wrestler, entertaining, fun, expert in your craft. But now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Who's the American idiot now? All right,
not
says,
me. He's might be an idiot, but I'm not American.
Not American. So. All right, so he says this. He says, fellas, asking. He says, I'm asking this as an iPhone guy, since that is what I have and use. As seemingly the only member of the Blizzard fandom actually looking forward to Immortal, a Blizzard and Diablo game I can play on my iPad while traveling, I'm in. How do you guys feel about the fact that it was announced last year? By the time it launches, it probably will be two generations of phones behind, the new iPhones being loaded with new technology, processor, new graphics chip, etc. Will that have any bearing on the player base? Number just based on the fact that the game is releasing on brand new hardware and may seem to render it instantly outdated. Love you guys. Thanks, guys. Joey Image. It's a fair question, but that stuff scales really well. I can't speak to the Android platform because there's a lot of different phone manufacturers, different chips, different stuff going on all the time. On the iPhone side, while you do have new generations of chips, those CPUs or those chips that power those devices and their graphics capabilities scale pretty well because they're all Apple's designs and they tend to be incredibly good at scaling stuff. So you also forget that Blizzard doesn't ever release a game on any platform that is meant to be cutting edge graphically on day one and make everyone strain their hardware, whether it's PCs or this or anything else. They tend to want to.
I think that's the main thing.
That's the main thing. I agree. So yeah, I think that we'll see the same thing here. They want it to play on as many generations of the devices as possible for the most people possible, and that's what you'll end up getting. It'll look good, though. I mean, it looked great when we played it, and I think it'll look just as good, you know, if it was released today or next week or whatever.
I mean, you can still play most Blizzard games on Macintosh, which is really all you need to know.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's amazing I can still play WoW on my Mac because Macs are shit at GPU stuff, generally speaking. And, you know, it helps that Windows is a gigantic dominant gaming platform and has, you know, DirectX 12. And, you know, they've got, like, graphics libraries that are well beyond what anything Apple's doing, but even if you've got, like, I just plugged in a external GPU, an eGPU to my Mac, and it makes a huge difference on, like, tons of different kinds of games. But not everybody's going to do that. And they want their Mac people to be happy. So there you go.
I'm sure they want people to be able to play it on older phones, because not everyone constantly is, you know, getting the newest, latest, best.
Yeah, exactly.
During the upgrade cycle.
Exactly. So my guess is you're going to be able to play this thing on the iPhone side on anything from, like, a 6 through the current 11s. And I think that... Sorry, go ahead, Patrick.
No, I was going to talk about something else, which is, to me, the bigger question is, what are they doing with that game? It's, it was announced over a year ago. We haven't heard anything. And I understand, you know, the negative reaction of the community probably has something to do with this, but I'm with Joey. Like, that comment about pop punk kind of is, it's more acceptable now, because I also am very curious about Diablo Immortal. Mm-hmm. And I think there's it's a legitimate, like, have they been changing stuff? Like, what is it? Was it not as fun as they were hoping it would be? So they're revisiting the gameplay. I don't know. It's very, I'm very, very curious to hear what they're up to with this game now.
Yeah, same. I mean, it's been long enough. Time to give us a date or an update or something. More than, oh yeah, we're still working on it. That's not enough. I need to know more. Or maybe I don't, you know, I'm not that interested in the game. Oh,
maybe
I'm going to play it.
It's possible.
But I kind of...
I think next time we hear about it, it should almost have a release date.
Yeah.
So that people don't freak out too much. It's like, I don't know.
Maybe they went back to the drawing board and they're making this thing completely not free to play. It'll be a true game you just buy and play, and it's awesome, and it's just a mobile rad game.
It seems very difficult. Maybe there will be two versions or something, because on mobile, it's very difficult to get people to buy premium games, and if they want to sell it, they can't sell it for $5. I think a Diablo game would be like 20, right? And that, maybe Blizzard can make it work, but...
Maybe they're reassessing after now that Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and presumably any future Bluetooth-based controllers can sync with iOS devices in particular. Maybe they're changing control system stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Because I would much rather play that on my iPad propped up with a freaking controller. I would love that. I don't want to touchscreen it.
Anyway. I'm sure it's going to be controller compatible, or I guess it will be. But... The big thing is the business model is what you were talking about. I think it's possible to not make it pay to play, like to keep a free to play model, but use something a lot more acceptable than loot boxes or anything like that, and have a season pass. That I think everyone would be fine with. Maybe some people would begrudgingly say, I want a game that I pay and that's it. But honestly, that's never going to happen, especially for Blizzard. At this point, I think it's fairly certain that every, including Diablo 4, by the way, is going to have some kind of season passy type thing, even though you're probably going to pay $50 for it to begin with.
CD Projekt Red's the only developer anymore that just makes straight up single player games, I feel like. They're just like the only bastion of this left. It's like, hey, we're making Witcher, and you just play it, and here's pay for it and play it, enjoy. I think that's we're running out of those.
Put it past them too.
Well, we're right. Maybe they have to fold and do that eventually. But I'm just saying, there are very few of those guys anymore on the AAA level.
That's
Sure. Yeah, like you can go buy a lot of indie games that are, you know, self-contained products, but in the space of like a AAA title, no one. It's just there's always some extra little deal on the end. It's fine. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just the way things are now. All right. Final.
I think it makes for a. Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead. Makes for what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say there can be really good games in both types, but it makes for very different types of games. Like games that have contained single player experiences are a certain type of game. And I understand why a lot of people want those. Mm-hmm. Games that have a business model where you have to get something all the time. They can be really good, but it's a very different kind of experience. And some people who don't like that are not going to be happy about it. And I understand that.
Yeah, this is all true. All right, final note here from Ed, who says, why does Blizzard reward 6-month subs with a mount but does not reward longtime month-to-month players? I've paid monthly without fail since 2007, but yet no free mounts for it. Thanks for all you guys do each week, Ed. Well, I mean, I've said this a few times. You know, we're all lifers. We pay every month and do our thing and stuff. And it would be cool, I guess, to have some benefit from that that is a bonus or something. But I don't know. I don't know why they don't. I do know why they don't, because the 6-month thing to get a mount is a good incentive for somebody to go do a 6-month thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a business choice, and they're not. This isn't just to say, we love people who pay 6 months in advance, so we're going to give them a mount. Not really. They're just saying, what if we gave you 6 months? If you paid 6 months in advance, we gave you something for free. Would that bring you back to World of Warcraft? Or would that make you start playing the game for the first time? Like, that's what they're into. So that's why.
And if you know that you're going to be playing, they say, Ed, probably he says he's been paying since 2007. I guess you're probably going to be playing for the next 6 months. So you could, I understand what you say, but you could go and buy it in advance. Or maybe you can't because you live month to month and or week to week or something like that. And then, yeah, it's more of an issue. But the giving something to players who have been paying nonstop for, I think they did that for the 10 years.
Yeah.
There was something, or I don't remember. Maybe they didn't, but I mean, that brings was a pretty
unique and one-off event. I mean, I think I agree with Ed here. Like, at a certain point, like, why not?
Well,
be like, hey, yeah, thanks.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I agree with you too. But you see what I mean about the business model here. They're just,
I'm not disagreeing with that. To me, I'm just like, yeah, of course, that's obvious. It's a massive incentivization to bring people back to the game and to get people currently paying month to month, give them a bigger chunk of change up front and lock them in for 6 months.
Right.
And I think Ed understands that too. He's just venting.
Yeah.
And
yes. I am saying that I agree with Ed, and it would just be kind of nice. Like, I've been making that complaint about like my cable provider for my whole life, because they have awesome incentives if you're new, but if you've been with them, you get nothing.
Oh,
however,
great comparison.
My cable provider just gave me a free year of Amazon Prime because it was a promo they were running for new people, and I'm like, oh my god, this has never happened before. Thank you.
Well, all you have to do is call them up and say, Comcast, I'm leaving, and then now there is a world of rad bonuses that are at your fingertips.
All I'm saying is,
Ed. I just call up Blizzard and like, guys, I'm leaving. And I guarantee they will give you like free mounts.
Yeah.
Like,
Wouldn't that be amazing if you could game your World of Warcraft subscription the same way we game our internet and cable providers?
Sure.
And call them up and be like, I'm thinking about getting rid of my television. I kept TV for a whole extra year because they're like, well, we'll give it to you for like $5 extra instead of what you're currently paying. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Sure.
That would be wonderful if you could do that for World of Warcraft. You just call them. They're like, okay, listen, if you stay, you can play the game for $5 a month for a year.
And a good reminder on the 10-year, that was the statue. So if you were never unsubbed for any period of time during the 10 years, you got that orc statue, that nice one they sent you in the mail. I never got one because...
All right, I'm to take a page out of Ed's book. Yeah. Hey, Blizzard, you listening?
Yeah.
I have definitely been unsubbed before, but do you know how many thousands of dollars I've given you for freaking server transfers? Come on. Where's my statue? Let's go.
You did do a lot of server transfers. That's true.
Dude,
that's the problem, because then you get people who are like, oh, but I did this, and why don't I get this? And
Yeah. It sort of never ends. But I never got the statue because I had never unsubbed, but there was a period of time where I was using a Blizzard employee's 25-year card. I won't say who, but while I was using it, it shows me as being, though I'm in the game, I was unsubbed technically, and so I wasn't eligible for that thing, but it's too bad. Anyway, well done, everybody. A Game Pass type solution Luke is suggesting in here. I've always felt like Blizzard could benefit from some sort of broader subscription that would pull their other games in different ways.
We've talked about it on the show many times.
Yeah.
They're starting to be at a point where they have enough games to justify that. But the problem is they have a lot of games that will that you need to pay for stuff in. Like the base price of the game is pretty low. So then what do? They give you everything that they produce for the game?
Probably not. Like they'd say, hey, right? Every month you get so many gems in Heroes of the Storm. Mm. Or, you know, every month in Hearthstone you get three packs or whatever it is.
Yeah, but that's not enough for someone who's playing Hearthstone. That's probably, you know.
Oh, I agree.
Like you would need to get a lot of packs in Hearthstone. They don't put enough games out, I think,
for
something like that to work.
I agree. I do. It bums me out that Garrett and I are the only people on my friends list, in my Battle.net friends list, that are playing Modern Warfare right now, because that game is great and we should all be playing it more. It's very good.
You want to talk about a solid campaign that didn't take me long to get through, which is a good thing in my adult life.
Yeah.
Damn.
I had run into a bug where that level where you got to use the laser pointer to tell the drone where to bomb. You remember that out in the dark on the roof?
Yeah, it was fun as hell.
It is, but every time I finish it, something doesn't trigger the next scripting. I've killed everything. There's nothing happening, and I still have Price going, point the laser at the bear. And I'm like, there's nothing here. There's no trucks. There's no tanks. All the men are dead. Like, there's no. I don't know how to fix it.
I didn't run into that, but I have a menu bug a lot of times where I go back to menu in between multiplayer games where it just maxes out my CPU for about 10 seconds.
Oh my gosh, weird.
You're really selling it well, guys. I think everyone's gonna want to play it now.
I think that game's really well made.
Really, I'd like to. This is going back to the person who wrote in and was like, "Do you think this is Activision making the move too quickly?" I'm like, y'all need to play some Call of Duty because there are so many bugs in that game. Oh my god,
it's got some issues, but it's tight. It's very good though.
It's fun. It's still fun.
It's so fun.
I haven't had anything actually interfere with my gameplay. Just my menu.
Yeah. It's just stuff outside of it. But it's a very, very, very. It's the best that thing's ever been, in my opinion. When you're playing it, like the playing of it is as good as Call of Duty ever got. That's very
just
good.
For some reason, I'm in the mood for it right now. I don't know what's going on. Anyway.
Anyway. So there's that.
Want to play Call of Duty?
You really should. It's fun. I'd play. I'd shoot you in the head. Me, no problem. There's your
since Modern Warfare 2.
That's right. There's your stuff. There's your emails. And they came to us at theinstance@gmail.com. Don't forget theinstance.net for the website either. That's a great place to go to get all things instance related and instance show on Twitter. Of course, Scott Johnson, Garrett Art, and not Patrick as well. Let's let everybody mention anything they got going on. Patrick, we just did an episode of Pixels. That was fun. I enjoyed that. That was actually a couple weeks ago, I guess, wasn't it? Or whatever it was.
Yeah, and it was great. We went over all of the games of 2020. What we said about them is still valid. Some of them might have moved around a little bit. A couple of them, no big deal, not many, just three of the biggest ones. But so we were mostly accurate on some of the things we said. You can go check that out. It's Pixels, so you look for that in your podcast app. You subscribe, and you have Scott and me talk about all of that stuff. And about the did we talk about Sony not being at E3?
Yeah, we did, I think, a little bit.
Okay.
They had announced that by then. Yeah.
And so that's a lot of stuff, a lot of content, and a lot of fun. So Pixels on your podcast app.
We did talk about the great April release of Cyberpunk, and it's not happening now, but other than that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Garrett, anything from you this week?
Just last night put up a brand new episode of WoW Killer with Taliesin, talking about old gods and Azoth and their lore. And we also have a YouTube channel for that now, which is brand freaking new. So it doesn't have a custom URL. So if you could all go to bit.ly/WoWKillerCast and subscribe to the channel so I can get a custom URL, I'd really appreciate it.
Mm, well, there you go. I like that. Someone let that
also,
loose.
Also, we did an 8-minute cold open for this week's episode that took me a really long time to edit. I'm super proud of it. And just that segment is on the YouTube channel right now with visual aids.
Oh, very nice. I like visual aids. Usually I'll put those on my YouTube channel, but currently the YouTube channel is shut down. There is some bumping around that maybe I'll get my appeal through. So those of you who get the instance that way, I apologize for the delay. You can get the VODs currently in collections. I'm doing those kind of like playlists on Twitch. So right after this episode, this version will be here as well. So you can get those at twitch.tv/frogpants. Just click on videos and collections and you're good. Or I have also been putting them as an alternative up on library.com. That's library.tv, which is L-B-R-Y wowkiller.tv. It's like a open source decentralized video service that is pretty cool. I like it. And you can even download the episodes just right there on the screen. But anyway, I put those up there as well. That's linked at theinstance.net, and I would recommend you guys check that out. I think that is going to do it for us. Yes, it will. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Go to frogpants.com for all your other needs. We got lots of shows, lots of cool stuff happening. We'll be back for another episode of The Instance coming up soon. Until then, and in between now and then, for me, for Patrick, for Garrett, and for all of you, have a fantastic week.
Strange disease leaves many saying, "I can't see clearly now." It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Being a doctor on Azeroth is certainly a challenge, as it seems every couple of years some previously unknown malady spreads like wildfire through both Alliance and Horde. Nobody can forget the corrupted blood pandemic spread by pets from Zul'Garub, or the Great Zombie Plague as the expeditions to Northrend to battle the Lich King got underway. Doctors struggled against horrific odds, but succeeded in controlling them. Some threats are not as contagious, but just as deadly. Shortly after Dalaran was moved above the Broken Isles, a massive outbreak of food poisoning forced Kirin-Tor physicians to beef up their knowledge of gastrointestinal medicine. Fortunately, some quick detective work revealed the source to be a certain Pandaren's poor cooking technique, and once everyone stopped eating his cuisine, the outbreak subsided. So it's no surprise that as the campaign against Azjara ends, a new mysterious malady has arisen. People of all races are reporting symptoms including blurred vision, a propensity to perceive purple, and difficulty distinguishing reality. A new type of doctor has come forth to treat these victims. Able to subtly twist reality, these healers present alternate visions to patients and ask them, "Does this look better? How about this? How about now?" Until the patient, once again, can distinguish real from unreal. So if you've filled your eyes with that double vision, we urge you to make an appointment with an azothoptometrist. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hold Buxley directly at Flame. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about weird events. Dear Buxley, there seem to be a lot of weird things and people in Vale of Eternal Blossoms right now. What's going on? Well, I had not been back to Pandaria in quite a long time, which is frankly quite a bit of a shame because I really like to take out food there. And I've always liked the Vale of Eternal Blossoms because it's quite a beautiful place with lots of lovely plants, so I was excited to go. Well, I don't know who the heck has been hired to keep the gardens in that place, but they really let it go. I mean, tentacles everywhere, eyeballs stuck to statues and rocks, and lots of weirdos running around. I don't know if there was a gardeners or what, but they were not doing a good job at all. The weeds and everything were out of control. So I go flying around looking for a good place to land, and all of a sudden I hear this voice saying things like, "Who are you to resist me? All your visions shall be made real." And I think, wow, what a weird thing to have commercials for fast food in Pandaria. And then I realize there's some big, ugly monster telling me this. And all these minions and eyeballs and squiggly things are because of this monster guy. I forget his name. It was something like Nabroth or Nagoth or David Lee Roth. Anyway, with all those tentacles, I just started calling him Squidward. He did not like that at all. I have to say, I never really saw the appeal of working for a big ugly monster like that. He must offer amazing stock options. Thanks for your question.
If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. You can listen to the archives at AskBuxley.com.
Moo.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at FrogPants.com.